hearing, and the first thing we do have on our agenda this morning is the budget for the Commission on Indian Services. And Mr. Q will introduce us to this and help us with where we're supposed to go.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Commission on Indian Services is one of the legislative branch agencies. The essential budget level moving into 0709 is $368,382, and there are no policy option packages, so this is just a discussion of continuing the current program. And Karen Quigley is here from the Commission and can give you an overview of the agency.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. Thank you so much for having me. And I do appreciate having had the opportunity to talk with you and give you an overview a couple of months ago. For the record, my name is Karen Quigley, and I'm the Executive Director of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services. And I thought, Mr. Chair, that you were going to say that was your favorite agency, but I'm willing to take being the favorite agency as part of the legislative branch of government. And I do want to let you know that I was at a meeting last week with one of your colleagues and the public safety officers from a number of the tribes and a number of state agencies. And someone from the Department of Justice was reporting that they were at a national conference the week before, and there was a huge, very heated panel discussion about how to, for other states, to figure out a way to avoid the litigation that they go through constantly with tribes. And a major point was, could you even discuss, could the state talk with tribes without the permission of the federal government? And the point of the Department of Justice was what the work of the commission and the support of the legislative branch in particular for that work has done, particularly in the past 10, 12 years, we are light years ahead of other states in terms of avoiding the costs of litigation. I see a commission member, Representative Butler, is here. Mr. Chair, would you like to hear testimony from him?
Thank you very kindly. Yes, we would. Yes, Representative.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good morning, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Representative number 60, Tom Butler, before you this morning to just briefly touch base with you on behalf of the Commission on Indian Services, and I know that you're hearing that budget this morning, and I do want to just take a few of your few minutes of your time, your valuable time this morning, as you consider the Commission on Indian Services. I hope that you appreciate how very fortunate we are in the state of Oregon to have a model of government-to-government services for our sovereign nations within the state of Oregon. This is a very unique agency. It's a very unique moment in time. I have a lot of fun as I meet with these folks. We know how to get together and have meetings, but they know how to get together and have meetings and have fun. And I think that's important. And I didn't understand.
Who's to learn from whom?
Yeah. We need to learn from the way they do it. I didn't understand why it was that they seemed to have such a good time at it until I realized that mostly probably what's happening is that those folks are recognize that they have some very, very common roots not too far distant from us. From one another, and so it's really been an excellent opportunity to work and associate. The Commission on Indian Services, as Karen may have already told you, is in its 32nd year. We are noted nationally for our tribal relations and for the relationship which we have on a government-to-government basis. Now, in other states that aren't as fortunate to have an active Commission on Indian Services like we have, typically those states are facing frequent confrontations. They meet each other more often in the courtroom than they do in the boardroom. And Oregon is very fortunate that we don't have that happen. Probably, if at all, it happens very, very infrequently. these folks recognize, the members of the tribal sovereigns recognize that they are on an equal footing with the state of Oregon, and that they come to the table, and that we can avoid a lot of the other issues. Now, if they really wanted to assert their sovereignty, they could flex their muscles, and they wouldn't be paying property taxes. They wouldn't, and in lieu of property taxes, they probably wouldn't have to be making many of the eleemosynary and charitable contributions that they make to the well-being of our communities. Gas taxes, tobacco, alcohol, those kinds of things. They're really under no obligation to participate on an even footing, equal footing, with the state of Oregon. They do. They do almost without exception. They are at the table with us because of the unique relationship which we enjoy through our Commission on Indian Services and our government-to-government relationship. And this has been going on since, I believe it was Atiyeh, Governor Atiyeh actually was the first to come forward and say, wait a minute, there is a better way for us to meet these folks halfway, and that's to make sure that all of the state of Oregon government agencies recognize the sovereign nature of these sovereign nations, and that we work more closely together, and that we use our scarce resources to all work together to make sure that we come up with the common goal. So in that regard, I just also wanted to mention some of the things, and again, you'll hear from the executive director, Karen Quigley. But my very first contact with these folks was when I was working in county government, and we became aware that the State Historic Preservation Office was involved in some of the things that we were doing. They put us in direct contact with, as we were building a jail, they put us in direct contact with our sovereign nation, which happened to be in this particular case for Malheur County, was the Burns Paiute, to make sure that sacred remains were properly cared for, were properly repatriated. And we have, from that point forward, I have gained a great appreciation for anybody that starts the day off by honoring Mother Earth and recognizing that Mother Earth isn't just for me. I've got to consider what happens after 9 or 10 generations of my footprint here upon Mother Earth. I think it's going to be a better day. Also, we have very excellent outreach. Some of our participants in both the tribal nations as well as the representatives of the Oregon tribes that are not federally recognized have some national outreach. And they do provide excellent training for the sovereigns and excellent opportunities for the sovereigns to become better trained. We do have some weak sisters in the process. I'm sorry to tell you that not every tribe has done as well as every other tribe, and we're anxious about that. We do have non-federally recognized tribes who are cousins, if you will, to some of the other folks. We're anxious, and there's a tremendous outreach. We're anxious to take care of our folks at the Celilo, the Celilo families who are related to the Umatillas, the Yakima, and the Warm Springs, primarily those three tribes, and the rather significant outreach there. And again, when you look at the tribal structure and the tribal organization, some you will see to be very, very well organized, vertically organized. I think of a very well organized tribe with regard to economics, I think of the Umatillas, a very active economic outreach. Again, we learn in the state of Oregon from how their successes have been, and they learn from us, and this is an excellent cross-pollination. So with that, I would be happy to take any questions. The certified smart person is sitting here with you already, and I do want to just commend again Karen Quigley for the excellent job and the excellent outreach. And again, it's more important that we meet together in the boardroom than it is that we meet with these folks in the courtroom. And Karen has done, with her legal background, has done an excellent job in making sure that Oregon is really recognized. Many states have adopted the program. Most recently, I think Montana has actually adopted our government-to-government position relative to how it is that we work with the sovereigns within our own borders.
Thank you, Representative. There are questions for Tom.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Happy to have you here. Please proceed then, Karen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as Teresa mentioned, this is a small budget, and hopefully you get a lot of value for the investment that you make in the work of the commission. About 85% of the budget is to fund the two full-time positions, and myself and a commission assistant. We are very conscious of costs of the state. We did not replace a 14-year-old copier. We made a fee-for-use service arrangement with another copy machine here in the building. We got a Office Depot fax machine, and we have quite a bit of a large number of faxes coming in now because of I need to review the archaeological permits, and a significant number of them are now from ODOT and the bridge building project. ODOT supplies our toner for this fax machine. Any out-of-state travel that I do, for example, last summer to Minnesota to talk to the Intertribal Tax Alliance, is paid for by those organizations. There is a small travel budget included in the numbers that Teresa's provided for you, and that's just for ceremonies or meetings that I go to throughout the state. There is a small amount for commission members to travel to the 3 to 4 commission meetings we have a year. Most of them are here at the Capitol. One a year is at one of the reservations. A number of the tribes decline to take any payments, so we get savings wherever possible. In addition to the commission meetings, there are a number of large events that the commission sponsors, the annual State Tribal Summit. In your binder, you have information about Tribal Information Day and the annual state training. We do, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Senator Johnson has.
Yes, thank you. When you were talking about limping by on ancient Xerox machine and that sort of stuff, it occurred to me that do you have any provisions in your administrative rules or in any of your statutes that would make it possible for to accept outside contributions? Particularly thinking that some of the tribes have very lucrative operations, and they might want to enhance your ability to continue to provide services through the Indian Commission, and I just didn't know if you had a vehicle to accept private money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we do have another funds provision that I think is broad enough that it might allow for something like that. The tribes have been extremely generous in terms of offering space, sometimes even staffing to staff meetings if we needed that assistance, of course, numerous meals. The specifics about equipment, I haven't discussed with them, but that's certainly something we could explore. And I don't know whether Teresa can offer some advice about whether that other funds category, it's primarily money we take in to fund events, conferences, trainings that we might have.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I believe statutorily the provision is broad enough that it would be it could be allowed to accept donations from tribes in terms of monetary donations. Right now, the history has been that it funds about $6,000. I think it's $6,109 is what's in the budget this biennium. So you would have a limitation issue that the commission might have to come back and increase limitation. But the statutory designation is broad enough.
What I'm driving at, Mr. Chair, if I can follow up, is that I think for the advocacy commissions as well as for the Commission on Indian Affairs, and I understand they're completely different, given that you really are representing sovereign nations. But I think that the opportunity for the populations that are served, and you can define that very, very broadly, for them to participate financially in the operational support of the commissions is a desirable thing, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to make sure that there was a pathway paved to be able to facilitate the receipt of gifts.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, thank you for that suggestion. I do want to point out, though, when I consider how I am used as a resource, it's primarily by the state and state agencies. There are over 30 state agencies that I interact with on a regular basis. I think it's a mutually beneficial arrangement, but in terms of getting advice or strategies of how to work with tribes, it's state agencies that use my services, perhaps even to a higher degree than the tribes do. And along that line, I did prepare, and I shared with Teresa earlier, something that I have not done before, but it might give a better idea of the types of consultations or strategies that I do provide to all the target groups. And that's in the back of the testimony piece. It's 4 pages. And you can see the number of different agencies and private engineering firms, other states, tribes, legislators, not only the type that either call or ask to arrange to meet with me, but also what the specific topic is. So you can see what a broad range it is that the commission deals with.
Mr. Chair, that adds one more dimension, and the point that I'm about to make was driven home to me vividly in a task force that I served on earlier this session with respect to the state's ability to successfully mount search and rescue operations. It became very, very clear that we don't have a particularly deep bench in some of our activities, meaning that one key person has become the repository for so much information and has built so many relationships that if that person, and I am submitting to my colleagues that you fit into this category, that if something happened to that person or they left and were no longer the incumbent, that we would have to start basically with a blank piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And that is of considerable concern to me when I think about George Kleinbaum at OEM. If something happened to George, I'm not sure we could mount an aerial search and rescue until some transition time was bridged. And my concern, every time I've heard you testify, and I've now done this budget 4 times, it drives home the point that I don't know what you're doing in terms of thinking eventually retirement will come, and how you begin to forge those kinds of trust relationships that you have built over a long period of service. How do you begin to transition that information and those relationships smoothly? And it's something that probably is too complex to ask for an answer right now, but I think it's something that we ought to at least recognize could at some point be an issue.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, if I may, and I appreciate this is a long-term concern, I believe, in all 4 times that I've been here, when you've been here, we've touched on this. And other than trying to reassure you that I don't plan to retire anytime soon, I also do acknowledge your understanding of how important the long-term picture is. It's very difficult with such a small agency to think about major succession. What I hope we're doing is institutionalizing the relationship building and the relationship maintenance that I've been encouraging between state agencies and tribes. The state agency training on May 18th that's going to occur here is designed not for the people that are the key contacts right now, but for the spread out next generation, up to 5 per each agency of those 30 agencies. So we are already trying to work out throughout each state agency how you push this relationship building out so it will happen not only beyond my tenure, but beyond the tenure of the deputy directors or the other key contacts in the state agencies and the tribes, because with these other governments, you have the same situation, and it's equally frustrating for the tribes dealing with state agency turnover, but for state agencies to deal with tribal government turnover. Mm-hmm. Even on the commission itself, two tribes have had elections recently that will affect the tribal leaders who are on the commission. So change is a constant, but what I'm hoping is that we are normalizing the idea of state-tribal relations, and that should never go away.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
If I could just point out a couple of other things that are in the binder for your review. There is the mission statement and the historical background and goals, many of which Representative Taylor touched on, the target groups. But again, I think the best indicator of those is that four-page spreadsheet that I mentioned earlier. And I do want to let you know that in addition to working with state agencies, we recognize in the way that Senator Johnson was referring to this idea of making sure this happens in a broad-based way, local governments, because so much of the interactions occur at the local level, and the state agencies are playing a critical role in wanting to make sure that occurs too. There's an appendices that highlights a number of the pieces of information that the tribe that the commission puts together as part of its information clearinghouse role. The website is key. It has a number of the resources that we put together that we now provide strictly online as a way to avoid the cost of printing and being stuck with overstock and trying to save resources that way. Probably the largest is the 90-page directory, Oregon American Indian Resources. There's also a key contact directory. Some of my speeches, just 100 frequently asked questions, commission meeting agendas and minutes, and a lot of other information that may be of use to both tribes and state agencies to continue that relationship building. A critical piece is the annual reports that state agencies provide about the work of their individual agencies with the different tribes. Another important piece of the work of the commission has to do with essentially guiding and monitoring the work of cluster or work groups. These are state agencies and their tribal counterparts that meet on six different issue areas: economic development, public safety, cultural resources, health and human resources, education and workforce training, and natural resources. So it's, and I think this is the piece that other states, it's the next step, that you not only have the formal documents, statutes, or executive orders declaring the importance of state-tribal relationships, you have to have a way of having ongoing communications. And these work groups meeting 3 to 4 times a year have been a very successful, important way of doing that. Mr. Chair, if there are questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Okay. Any questions for Karen? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I was reviewing the material this morning, and looking at the key performance measures, pretty much all of them appear to be outputs. And I guess the question becomes then, in terms of outcomes, what do we expect to have happen with these outputs? I think in looking at performance measures, that's what we really want to focus on, is what the outcomes are. So Because kind of a big question becomes, you know, so what? So what are the what do we expect to have happen with these things, these activities being done?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, thank you for that question. And actually, it was a topic at a recent commission meeting. I think a little bit is the unique nature of this commission in that it's advisory and is essentially set up to monitor the actions of state agencies, whether they are being effective in helping to reach the benchmarks that specifically deal with Indian tribes. There was some discussion, particularly with Senator Kate Brown and Representative Tom Butler, about whether the commission should request from state agencies the performance or the outputs that you're talking about in terms of what are we getting. It's sort of the role of the commission, or the way the commission has seen it, is that it not rides herd, but it checks what state agencies are doing in the different areas. So I'm not certain that the key performance measures will look like other state agencies given the function of the commission.
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, if I could also add, because I think it's relevant to all of the, or most of the legislative branch agencies, not surprisingly, while the branch has driven performance measures to a large extent, as can often happen, we're behind the game in terms of having the resources that were devoted to really looking at our own internally. So what you're seeing is kind of a first step in a lot of the agencies, and we actually are going to use some of the statewide resources now in this next interim to really spend some time looking at performance measures for the branch agencies.
Okay. I'm kind of wondering if, so this is a little bit of thinking out loud here, which may or may not
can be dangerous.
It certainly can be dangerous. But if we're looking at outcomes, so for example, on the one that's listed on page 2 of the performance measure sheets, that you know, the annual training for effective state agencies, annual government summit, government to government summit, and the Tribal Information Day, maybe an outcome that we would be expecting from that would be that they would be an improvement, and I don't know how you measure the improvement, but maybe an improvement of the relations with the agencies in terms of their understanding of tribal culture and law, as well as then increasing the respect for example, Representative Butler mentioned the tribal remains or human remains when they're found and having them repatriated and handled in a very respectful way. Mm-hmm. That maybe becomes part of one of the outcomes that you're looking at, because before, you know, what would have happened? Well, maybe we'd have just sent in the bulldozers, and if there were, you know, human remains in the way and they got run over, you know, oh well. And I don't think that that's what we want, obviously. And so I'm thinking if we can kind of start looking at it in those terms, looking at the measure, but then saying, okay, what's that going to actually bring us? In terms of the agency.
Thank you, Representative. Other Representative Senator Bates.
Just a quick comment. I'm certainly no expert on this commission, but it appears to me that you're doing a great job. If it ain't broke, let's not try to fix it. The only thing that I've heard here was that for a very small amount of money, we are not doing what other states are doing by being in court. Or what's going on in Canada with the Mohawk stand down right now, which is almost escalated to an armed conflict. It sounds to me like this is a way of dealing with those issues before they reach that level, which we appreciate. I was a little concerned about Representative Butler's statement about some tribes still not being recognized, and concerns about some tribes having not gotten full representation from the point of view of some strength here. And and maybe in the next session you can come back to us and tell us what kind of inroads we've made to outreach to those tribes. I know from personal experience that our Native Americans still suffer from a great deal of medical problems with drug abuse, alcohol, suicide, and other issues being much higher in that population than the general population. So those are still issues I know that the tribes are still dealing with and having a difficult time with, but we'll continue to work on. But from my point of view, it looks like you're doing a great job for practically no money, and I would be very supportive of your budget.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I guess in conclusion on this particular budget, I share one of Senator Johnson's concerns. Anytime we have a small, extremely well-run agency where it's all compliments really one person, I shudder at what happens to that particular agency if the state of Arizona, as an example, makes you an offer you can't refuse to come down and do the same thing in the state of Arizona that you're doing in the state of Oregon. I mean, and I'm not suggesting you'd ever leave the state of Oregon. I mean, far be it. I mean, people live, obviously, in Oregon because they love Oregon, not because of any, you know, kind of economic benefit that it necessarily provides to them. But, you know, be that as it may, I still think that in the course of the next couple of years, you and some members of this legislative body and also some of the executive department need to be thinking more in terms of we don't want to lose the program because somebody else has got more money than we have and they hire away our expertise. So thank you very much, Karen, and we appreciate your being here, and I, too, am very supportive of the commission and of the work that you're doing and of your budget. Maybe disappointed that didn't come in with anything that was easy for me to cut out of it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm going to assume that you're offering me $1 million bonus today.
we would like to have available to do that type of thing. But I see the Senate President in the back of the room, and until he and his chamber come along with that, why it will be difficult for us to get on this side.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. And then with that, we will open our hearing on the Legislative Assembly. Would you help us, Teresa?
I think, Mr. Chair, that the Senate President is here, as well as Gene Atkins and Connie Seeland to also provide information. So we'll all start that.
Senate President and
officially, in terms of numbers, let me just start with the Legislative Assembly budget. Essential budget level is $29,442,014. There are no policy option packages in your budget document. However, if you recall and refer back to the document that I prepared, there were a number of recommendations that came from the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature, as well as the Senate Legislative Operations Reform Committee, that would provide additional resources or recommend additional resources for the Assembly budget.
Would that be why the big guy in the back of the room is here?
It could be, exactly.
Good morning. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee again, the General Government Subcommittee. President, would you like to start off?
Chair Jensen and members of General Government Ways and Means Subcommittee, my name is Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator, and I live at 2925 Island View Drive North in Salem, 97303. I'm here today to talk about this Legislative Assembly budget. And I don't tell. I just a few moments ago spoke in another subcommittee hearing because I was ordered to do so by a certain state senator. And basically, I'm here today because my chief of staff ordered me to be here. I really not comfortable before budget committees, and a lot of you know why. But I do feel that this is a budget that I'm somewhat involved in, so at least I should be held accountable for it. And that brings me to you, because you can proceed to hold me accountable. I think the legislative branch of government, a lot of you have heard me say this, needs repair, needs restoration, needs to be remodeled, needs to be updated. And this is what this budget's all about, in my humble opinion. I think just in the area of staffing alone, at a minimum, I think since we're getting into retiming, and I put myself on two committees, and the last committee meeting of a committee I put myself on, since I'm shutting that committee at 5 o'clock tonight, met at 7 o'clock this morning, and we talked about, for a whole hour, about how we're going to handle the February session that we're going to go into. What I'm saying is we're going into retiming our legislature. We're trying to move to a meeting at least once every year. I think every legislator deserves an LA, obviously during the general session, which you have, but they need to have an LA 24/7 year-round. And I think every legislator should have an individual that we have qualifications and benefits such that you can hire someone who sees it as a job that at least they can make a living off of. That is, they can pay the bills. And so I feel strongly about that, and that's in this budget, every single one of you. So not just an LA for the general session, but after we sign a die in June, that individual would be with you for the remainder of that year and all the next year. So that's something I can't tell you how strongly I feel about it. And I realize we could get into compensation for ourselves, but first and foremost, I think we have to allow each of you that opportunity to work on the many things you need to work on, especially if we're going to start meeting once a year. So I'll leave it at that. Now, the remodeling of the wings. The wings were created in 1977, which is 30 years ago, which isn't long when you consider our Oregon State Hospital was built in 1883, and it's 124 years, and we still are using that thing. And I don't even want to get into how I feel about that, but, you know, comparisons deserve to be comparisons are comparisons. But these wings are remarkable. The staff has written me something, and I'll read this quickly because I don't like to read my testimony, which I guess has been left to you. They left out one of the major things, so I'll leave that to try to be dramatic about, not that I could be dramatic in a Ways and Means subcommittee. They've deteriorated at an alarming rate. Many of the bathrooms are only partially out of order. And I say partially. I've never been in a...
And I hate to do this to the Senate President, but we do have one freshman member here, and I think it's important for the chair to pass on to him that there are some things about the testimony of the Senate President, and he just mentioned one of them about not being dramatic, that you would take with a grain of salt, please.
I gather that.
Well, I'm not trying to be dramatic, Mr. Chair, and I mean that. Many of the bathrooms are partially out of order. I say that, I don't know anything about the women's restrooms. I just know about the men's restroom. And that's not even the old part of the, and I'm not going to go into that because you wouldn't want me to. I'm not even going to go into the bathrooms in the old part. That's all I'm going to tell you. They're partially out of order. And I mean out of order. This exposed wire and cable poses a toxic smoke hazard in the event of fire. The fire sprinkler system is not up to code. There's a lack of power outlets that causes a safety hazard with excessive use of extension cords. I know all these things to be the case. The heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system falls short of health and indoor air quality standards. Chief of Staff Connie Sleeve was just complaining a moment ago. She's freezing to death. I'm not. She says she is. There are only some examples of deteriorating conditions of wings. The one they didn't mention is you can't drink the water. You can't drink the water. Years ago, I was in a Pinnacle Theater, which is a community theater play called Don't Drink the Water. It's a Woody Allen play. I was in the play called Don't Drink the Water. It's a true story. And I'm just saying, you cannot drink the water. You know that in the wings. We have to bottle in the water. And by the way, Salem has great water. I know. I live in it. It is great water. We can't drink the water in the wings. Now, I didn't make it up. You can't drink the water. We have tried in the past to deal with this, but you know, we wouldn't deal with it. I'm not going to go into why. There were figures that if we'd followed in 2001, we'd be talking in the teens in terms of the millions of dollars. We're not talking teens anymore to redo the wings. I know that, but That's the way it goes when you, you listen to the doctor today, you have the surgery today, or you don't. You have it tomorrow. Either way, it gets worse. So the billing is worse than it was in 2001. The price tag has gone up exponentially, or however you budgeteers say it goes up. You know how to talk about those things. It hasn't gotten cheaper to fix this thing. And, I'm not going to get into politics. You can blame me. Say it's all the president. He's a bad guy. He wants to spend money here, and we have all these other needs. Go ahead. Blame me. But the fact is, the wings are getting worse. It's getting worse. And so that's in this budget. I've already talked about retiming. We're in the middle of an experiment that makes you all historic figures. All of you. I don't care whether you're Democrats, Republicans, House, Senate. No other legislature in our history. We were founded in 1859. The first general session started in 1860. Went 2 months. 2 months. No, we've had 36 special sessions since then. We've had 74 general sessions since then. No legislature has ever attempted what we're attempting, and in the nation has attempted this. Most of the time, the public tells you we want an annual session, and you do it. No, we're going to go show the public how to do one. All of us are in this. Politics aside, we're all in it. And this retirement thing is incredible. To do it right, and then after we get through doing it right, knock on wood, and we ask the public to do it, to have us do this, we're going to have to adjust. For example, in terms of just office space, staff. I mentioned our staff. I didn't mention the LFO. I didn't mention legislative council. I didn't mention legislative administration. There will be have to some adjustments. So I think it's only fitting that I came here and said these things to you. No one else will advocate for the legislative branch of government. No one. There are 112, I believe, Senator Whitsitt, probably wrong, circuit court judges, and 17 appellate judges. There are, I don't know how many administrative agencies out there and their heads. There's only 90 of us. There'll only be 90 of us. Nobody advocates for the Oregon legislature. There are judges running all over this building, making my life miserable, saying they want this, they want that. They've hired the biggest, most powerful lobbyist. You know what? Nobody lobbies for us. Nobody lobbies for this branch of government. Nobody. It's the way it's always been, the way it always will be. So be it. I'm not complaining. I asked to be here. Stop whining, Peter. But I do think that right now, I think there are 7 branches of government. Not 3, 7. And probably the reason this has been the growth of other branches is because we in this branch have been made weaker and no longer equal to the other two. I think they're in much better shape. I know the judges want more money. They need more. I know all that. But the fact is, it is time that we take care of this house because this is the most accessible branch to Oregonians. It is. You got one governor. But we make the laws, and we do the budgets. Every member of this, every person alive in Oregon today has one rep and one state senator they have access to. They should try to get to see the governor. And you don't want to go before the courts unless you got troubles. So we're it. We make democracy work. We do. This is it. And to the extent that people don't have access to it, our facilities aren't what they are, and no branch of government has done what we've done. We're going out with our public hearings. You people in Ways and Means, you spent 7 hearings out there this time, 2 years ago, exhausted yourselves in these to go out to the public. So, yeah, I thought I should show up. I should show support for this budget. I'm proud of it. I support it, and I'm not going back down for it. And if you want to get into an argument with me, not that you would, about human resources and K-12, that's fine, too, because I'm going to have to figure it all out. But the fact is, there is a legitimate need here. You have personal legitimate needs, incredible needs. I'm advocating for you, but I'm advocating for a branch of government and for our system of government. So I have said enough, and I think I'll stop.
Questions for Senate President, for Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, for coming in, because I agree that there are not a lot of advocates for the legislature. But yesterday, in the absence of our House colleagues, the Senate portion of this committee heard testimony from Mr. Henderson that, frankly, I think gave all of us, Republican and Democrat, pause with respect to how comprehensive the planning has been for an undertaking of this magnitude. There seems to be a paucity of communication between the Department of Administrative Services with respect to temporary space needs. There are at least 2 buildings that are being planned for the mall, one under the aegis of the Department of Administrative Services, the other being principally driven by the Treasurer's Office. Notices for eviction from the building were just sort of preemptively dropped on the constitutional officers without a lot of conversation about where they're going to go. And I think while all of us subscribe to the fact that this venerable building needs to be cared and maintained, My father was one of the legislators who voted to do the wings, and so I have a heart connection with the maintenance of this building as the people's building. I think the planning is causing some degree of angst for members of this committee with respect to having sort of an overall design about how things would work. And it makes it hard to enthusiastically go up the hill for $31 million for the wings when the execution causes some of us to have some level of concern. And I don't know whether or not there's a response or whether in this session we can fix that and bring comfort to those of us that are going to have to raise our hands and say, yes, we think this is a good investment. I know that the Legislative Review Committee has opined on the need to fix this building. But I'm not convinced that the planning for an undertaking of this magnitude exists.
Chair Jensen, Vice Chair Johnson, first of all, I'm aware of what happened here yesterday. I was watching it. I also spoke to the governor in person last week, the state treasurer last week, and the secretary of state, and I delivered them a written document saying, guess what? And so I've already been through all that. There were very interesting conversations we had. You know, I could answer it all kinds of ways. Let me just say this. There is planning. There are deadlines. There are designs. We do the House first, then we do the Senate. What happens to House members, it's there. But to be very frank with you, and this will get me in trouble, you have these people that are in different leadership positions around here, political figures. And we start and we stop. We start and we stop. We start and we stop. And a lot of that is what has happened since 2001 and before, to be very frank with you. I'm going to be very frank with you. And to the extent that you have legislative administration trying to read people, such as Peter, it gets pretty bad. Now, I'm not convinced that everything legislative administration done has been correct in this. I'm not going to deny that. But I have to take some responsibility as an elected official that I don't think the six of us, or however you want to describe it, if you know what I mean, have been totally together on this, even though everybody knows we got to do this. So we, of us in these positions, have set mixed signals. Yeah, we ought to do it. Well, yeah, well, start and stop it, start and stop it. And Senator Johnson, you know, there's an old saying, do something. We've reached the point you got to do something even if it's wrong. FDR said that. This thing isn't perfect. I do think there are architectural renderings of what we're going to do. There is full knowledge of that. There is a plan of what happened to the House members when they move into their wings, what happens to Senate members. It's all there. But that the communication has been lacking, I'll concede that. That the process that's brought us here has not been perfect, I'll concede that. But I got to tell you, then I only ask you to please understand that then I ask you to take the leadership on this and make sure, though, that for whatever's happened, we are, once we sine die in June, we are going to start working on these wings. Because if we delay again, the price tag gets up, and I will tell you, there's no guarantee it's going to be any better down the road. I'm just going to tell you that. So I'm not making excuses to you. I'm well aware that you're unhappy. Others are unhappy. That our track record hasn't been perfect. But the elected officials have played a role in this lack of being perfect, to be frank with you. That's all I can say. I can't do it any other way.
Senator Bates.
Thank you. Mr. President, thank you for coming down today. I think we had a good deal of killing the messenger yesterday. The person who was there before us was just bringing forward, I think, what he was instructed to bring forward, and unfortunately he was the messenger and got our angst. I'm a little fearful that other elected officials don't share your broader vision, a vision of what this building should look like, and to a certain degree what this building looks like. It is a statement about the importance of the legislature, and I appreciate your vision on this. I believe we need to go forward with the plan, but I think there's time as we go forward with this and vote the funds for the plan that a lot of what has to be done first does not get in the way of what has to be done in long-term planning. Your vision of coming back in February gives us an opportunity to look at the larger picture at that time also. I think this building needs to be one that is the keynote for the legislature, one that when you come to this building, you're coming to the legislature. Our population has grown. It's going to grow again. We'll be looking at 4.5 million people in 30 or 40 years here in this state. And the legislature has to be able to respond to that, not only from the point of view of the size of the building they function out of, but the stature and importance of that legislature. You and I will be long gone then, but we want to set something up for 50 years from now that that we can be proud of, and that really serves the people of Oregon. So I really salute what you're trying to do here. I do agree, though, we need to get started on this. But I don't want us to have our hands tied so that when we come back in February, we can't make some course corrections at that time. And if this legislation can be crafted in that way, I'd be very happy to do that. Electrical work, plumbing work, make this building safe, needs to be gone forward. The actual layout of some of the buildings, especially on the center side, probably needs to be discussed. But I think we can start a lot of that work prior to February and come back and revisit it. What the entire capital looks like probably needs to be discussed, too. Where these different offices are needs to be discussed. We had, beginning of the session, the state treasurer come in here wanting to move his office out of the building into a new facility, take on more work from another agency. And there didn't seem to be any coordination between that and what was going on in the wings and things we were trying to do. But I think we have an opportunity to do that now. We can do both at the same time. We can move forward with the wings at the same time, make this capital look the way it should in 50 years from now. And I hope you can support us and help us do that.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Jackson. Thank you for being here, President Courtney. The facility is very important. I think the function is more important. We're probably interrelated.
Senator, could you try once more on that?
But I really share your concern that the legislative branch has lost its way among the three, among the big three, if you will, and that. I think part of that you addressed. I certainly think that we do need more legislative staff. Personally, I don't care about legislative compensation for myself because I'm retired. It doesn't make, you know, frankly, doesn't make any difference. But I think that if we're going to have annual sessions, that is something we're going to have to look at if we're going to have quality legislators here. Because if you're going to be here every year, that's very, very difficult to make work with an ongoing business or an ongoing job. So I think that's something that we really need to look at also. I believe that our legislative council, other agencies within the organization need to be enhanced. Certainly our IT needs to be improved. But I mean, I think that it's my perception that we have starved ourselves to the point that we are becoming a stepchild instead of a equal partner in the governing. And I really believe that we need to spend whatever money is necessary. Good old conservative me, but spend whatever money is necessary to elevate the legislative section of government back to where it should be, and it should be the leadership of this state.
Other questions? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, thanks for being here. I'm looking at a page on in our budget narrative, and it's page 43 behind the agency summary. And it looks like we're showing an increase of 9.5% over the 05-07. Budget for us. What I'm curious about is, and concerned about, and I haven't gotten into the detail quite yet, is from an operational perspective, is that going to be enough to get us to the point of what you were referring to earlier, of each of us having an LA that we can hire year-round and pay a living wage to, so that we don't have LAs that are having to take on five and six members to pay their bills, and also be able to pay our professional staff in legislative council, fiscal and revenue, to making sure that they have the resources that they need to be able to get the job done. And if that's not going to be enough, would you support increasing that amount so that we can get to those points? I myself have taken on a stance where I've been very tempted to say I'm not voting for another position increase in the executive branch until we do something about the legislative branch. I agree with you very much.
Chair Jensen, Representative Crummell, it is not is not enough. I understand, and again, I don't consider myself certified smart in budgets, but it's my understanding, when I told you about a full-time LA for each of you, each of us, each of the 90 members, we were talking about a position that we budgeted at a rate that the salary and benefit package would attract a qualified professional person. Now, that's what we're starting with, you understand? My understanding, given those words I've just said to you, and I defer to your expertise, you're talking a figure of about $6 to $7 million. That is not in that budget. So I just have to be upfront with you. And again, if you wanted to go with a, I don't mean to say this disrespectful, a minimum wage person, obviously the figure comes down. I'm not trying to be a clown or fooling you. I'm talking about a very qualified person so that you, in the work that you do as state senators and state representatives, both in this capital and your districts, has an individual that is competent. So that is the figure. I have to. So I'm up front with you, Representative Crummell. Now, you've asked me another question, and this is the reason. Well, now I'm getting notes. But anyway, you will allow these people beside me to testify, I hope, because they're going to help me, let's just put it that way, as well as the great Teresa who's here. You asked me a question. One of the reasons I'm nervous about going in front of Ways and Means Subcommittee, I was earlier today, and I talked about the DEQ budget, is I'm becoming very aware of how we're going to get out of here with the budgets. And I'm not sleeping very well because I've concluded we're not going to have extra, a lot of money on the table, additional money we don't have now, if you understand what I'm saying, Representative Cobb. Mm-hmm. So what you'll have me say is, yeah, I'm going to go for that $6 million figure when I know doggone good and well how that's going to come back into my life. So all I'm going to say is I want more money in the legislative administration budget, no question about it. We'll see whether or not you use that against me in the future in terms of certain other things, but I came here, I do believe at a minimum we need to do something, at least in staffing for each of us, and I've made my statement.
Mr. Chair, if I may follow up.
Follow up.
Thank you. And no, I'm not trying to trap you or make you say something that might come back to bite you in the future. What I'm trying to get a sense of is whether or not that's a fair increase, because as I look at it, I don't think it is either. And I absolutely agree with you. We have, as a legislature, we have basically tried to kill ourselves, unsuccessfully so far, but it's a slow, painful death. And we are in the process of doing that pretty well to where we really don't matter. And it's going to continue until we decide to buck up and say, we're going to make ourselves matter. And it's going to be us, because you're right. There's nobody in this building that lobbies for us. We get lobbied by everybody else for whatever, but there is nobody here that lobbies for us. I also agree with you.
Thank you.
Am I done?
Well, I just wondered, you emphasized the 1.3 times.
Okay. I also am curious, though, about the wing renovation. And I don't know where that is in negotiations, but I would like to see us do it now as opposed to waiting. Idaho's going to spend $130 million on their, they're not going to, they are in the process right now, on their capital renovation. We can do ours for, what is it, 35 or whatever it is. And I'd much rather do it now than wait another however long to get it up to $130 million.
Can I just say, Senator Chair Jensen, I agree. I'm still wincing over the comments of Senator Johnson. I think they're accurate comments, no question about it. I'm not one who hides what is. I think they're accurate criticisms. I just hope that as accurate as those criticisms are involving planning or communication, whatever, that we don't use those to stop us from moving now, and that we challenge ourselves through this committee taking the lead, perhaps, you know, to find a way, regardless of how we got here, and I'm not going to mess with you on that, Senator Johnson, that we still decide we're going to do these wings and we move forward now. And I cannot emphasize that strongly enough. I just know basic human nature, and I just hope that we don't stop. We go. And we try to figure out a way to make up for the communication or the planning, whatever, because the need is great. That's all. I just need to say that. Senator Johnson, I admit, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong, or others that, Senator Bates raised it as well. All of you could say, boom, 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 boom. I am comfortable to know that there's enough planning that's going on here and architectural renderings that it isn't like nobody knows anything about how to do anything with the wings. There is knowledge, there is expertise, there is a mass of facts, factoids out there that can clean up these wings in a meaningful way. Now, I have to tell you, there's also the old Capitol part, which is also another big thing. You're right, Senator Bates, I have this view of everything. But I don't want to be the only one that's talking this way. I need some other team members, to be very frank with you. And while we have them, I just hope that this subcommittee finds it in their wisdom and their way and their guts to say, okay, and maybe you're suggesting that because I've heard different things, I'm trying to read you, that we'll go forward, but we'll also have certain checks and balances along the way to make sure we do it in a way that we think is reasonable and responsible. So I had to just say that. So.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then maybe at what I really see as the 11th hour, something could occur under the aegis of your office, Mr. President, that could bring some comfort to some of us. And I'm making this up on the fly, but maybe there could be designated a project team. It seemed to me when Mr. Henderson was here that it was almost an afterthought to go over and talk to the Department of Administrative Services. I need the level of comfort that communication is occurring at the highest level so that this planning has some degree of coordination. The downside of putting together a project team is that you run into this sort of thing when something goes wrong and there's not clearly somebody in charge. Conversely, if this is so important, I don't understand why it is that principals and the agency can't quite get to meet with each other. I spoke with Mr. Henderson 2 weeks ago and asked what level of engagement he had had with the Department of Administrative Services. It wasn't until the day before the hearing, and then he spoke to somebody in the sort of the mid-level range. Maybe you could help bring some comfort to some of us that think the planning has had some gaps in it by designating a team that answered to you, or I don't know what it is. I want to come to a place where I can commit $31 million with a degree of comfort that I don't have right now, particularly with Ramona sitting back there glowering at all of us. I know this has been a project that is very near and dear to her heart. I'm looking for an assist here that says, yeah, we've designated some people. The imprimatur of the president's office is on them. They are accountable at every step of the way. I just don't feel that that's occurred.
Senator Johnson. Excuse me, Mr. President. Go ahead.
Please. Well, Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, these aren't Peter's wings. But
Peter's the guardian angel flying over them right now, so
I will do all I can. I'm not sure I can bring peace and comfort to any of you, but I will do all I can to try to do what you're asking, and that's all I can say now. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple things really clear. We have failed to do this back in 2001. It was a $17 million bill, if I remember right. And now it's grown to 31, and I don't want to be looking at a $50 million bill next session when we try to do it again. I agree with the President. We need to move this forward. It absolutely has to happen. We have to move it forward. And I'm trying to do this a little bit on the fly myself also. I think there's time as it moves forward for us to have some real meaningful input in what those wings look like over the next several months. And I have full confidence in the President's leadership in this that we'll have that input now. I think we've made our point, and we can sit down with the right people and come up with a plan for the wings that everyone will accept and start building on a plan for the entire Capitol, not just for the wings. I know the President has the ability to look at broad vision, not look at details, which is what we need from our President, and I appreciate his leadership on this. And obviously, we've got everybody's attention in this room on it. I would look forward to seeing a team come together, have real input in this, but still get this thing going this session. I'm afraid we'll lose it next session. You never know what's going to happen a year and a half from now. And people like Senator Johnson and others can sit down and really hammer this through in a way that I think we'll all be happy with. So I look forward to having that discussion. And I also look forward to getting this project off the ground in this session.
Thank you, Senator Rapp. I too appreciate very much your coming to talk to us, President Courtney, and to share with us some of your thoughts and ideas. You scared the bejesus out of me when you started out and started comparing this building to another building here, and indicated that with your math that there were 74 years longer on that building than on this, and I thought, don't tell me he's backslid and wants to wait 74 more years before we take on these projects. Knowing better than that, I was patient enough to wait until you got through this. I very much share Senator Johnson's opinion, and I share your issues and concerns. But the thing I, you know, and I think that what Senator Johnson has said more eloquently than I can, the planning for the whole process, I really feel needs to be incorporated as we build this. I hate to see us go off on piecemeal sort of things, and then we have you know, the proverbial fiasco when we get through. I will very much support what your intentions are for the wings this time, and I very much appreciate the commitment, if I've understood you correctly, that you've made to try to deal with this planning issue and to look at the whole operation on our Capitol. You made one, you know, very, very profound statement, I think, when you began, and that was that we, the legislature, make democracy work. Of course, the downside of that, as we all recognize, is that we, the legislature, then are the ones that's going to make it fail, too, if we are not really responsible and live up to our obligations as legislators. This is not my building either, President Courtney. This is the people of the state of Oregon's building. And the people of the state of Oregon have a right to be proud about their state capital, and proud that about the people too who live here and for a short period of time and represent them. And so I would commit to you that at least as one person on this committee, that we'll do everything in our power that we can to help move this particular agenda along, and I think that a number here are willing to provide their help, feeble though it may be, in trying to help with the planning process, you know, that you may be able to provide the leadership for that we would have difficulty with. So with that, unless you have any concluding comments, Mr. President, we would...
Thank you. Thank you for letting us come here and testify.
Thank you. And Ken, just a moment. Okay.
Mr. Chair, Gene Atkins, Chief of Staff, Speaker of the House, and I wanted to make our apologies that the Speaker could not be here, but I did want to make a couple of points related to the Senate President's testimony and to the budgets that you're looking at on his behalf. The Speaker and the Senate President have talked about these issues not extensively in these months, but to some degree, and are in pretty close agreement around the priorities that the Senate President put forward for you as you look at these at these budgets. And he very much appreciates, as you have, the leadership of the Senate President in pushing the branch forward, if you will, as a focus for state investment. On a couple of matters, the question was raised around the wings about negotiations, and the Senate President referred to, I think, some of the fits and starts around the planning for this based on the political will behind it and where it might be and where leadership might be. I think I can share with you that the Speaker has made a commitment that should the wings go forward, and he would endorse that they do, that they need to go forward on a bipartisan bipartisan basis, has asked the majority leader and the House Republican leader to sit down and look at the plans together to see if there are problems in them or excesses or issues that they might want to raise around the plans and come to a conclusion as to a set of plans, not only for the essentials, but to the extent that we're replacing things and carpets and various things that the public would look at, you know, what can we share our agreement around in terms of moving forward with the plan. I think some good discussion has happened between the two caucuses about that, and the Speaker looks forward to being able to have those leaders bring forward to you their opinions around the actual plans and potentially commit votes given what proposal you may come up with around moving forward. The other thing, this has been a learning curve for obviously a new speaker around the budget itself and the fact that you have several agencies and the assembly being just one piece of that. And as I think your able staff pointed out at the beginning, the assembly itself really has not put forward budget packages for you to look at. That's why the $6 million isn't necessarily sitting there in a package. And it did, come as a surprise to us that traditionally the Assembly itself doesn't try to bring forward budget packages for itself. So there's a hesitancy to do that for you as members. But I think the Speaker does agree with the priorities as put forward by the Senate President.
Can I interrupt and ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Is the Speaker, since he does not feel like he was able to bring forward PACs, is the Speaker going to be, irritated with us when perhaps we bring forth some of those suggestions?
I don't think so at all. As your staff has brought forward to you a document that shows some of the any recommendations that have come out of the Public Commission and out of the Senate Committee on Legislative Operations that looked at all of this, there are recommendations for things to perhaps add in as you look at the whole picture of the legislative budget. And I think the first endorsement would be around the legislative staffing component, which I think he also endorses as probably the first best place to enforce to put a next dollar should you find one as you're moving forward with this budget. But obviously would love to comment on proposals that you all bring forward, but I think you are the right team to look at that and see what room you feel that you have to put forward things that would benefit the Assembly as well as the particular POPs that have been produced by the other parts of the overall legislative budget.
Thank you.
Was that accurate, Teresa? We're learning.
Gibson, comments?
For the record, I'm Connie Seely, Chief of Staff, Office of the Senate President. The only thing I would offer is that when the Senate President made the comment, I think about the leadership and the stop and the start. I think the time frame of that is very long, and I happen to know that Gene's predecessor is sitting behind me, and my guess is he would probably chime in on this as well, that it has been leadership for, 5 years that has, done the stopping and the starting, and it's been very hard to get some real traction on the wings until now. So I wouldn't take that just about that the six leaders sitting in their positions today. I think it's about folks who've come before them as well.
But I'm sure both the President and the Speaker are aware of the fact that in the interruption of those years, there were some fairly significant other problems, like
certainly.
The bottom falling out of our economy.
Certainly.
May have made it more difficult for us to have proceeded at that time than any of us were comfortable with. So. Thank you very much. Appreciate both of your. Senator.
Do we have moments for a few questions here?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Senator Bates.
This is directed at both of you if you could answer. I went over some discussions occurred on a couple of subjects that are very concerning to me. And when I look through a list of fundamental reforms that have been suggested, we're talking about salaries for the clerk's office, the secretary's office. We're talking about what's going on in legislative council, what's going on in revenue and LFO. We've had a virtual meltdown in legislative council this year, probably as a result of too many hours worked and too low a pay. I don't think anybody left the office down in LC because they took a cut in pay where they went somewhere else. They all took gigantic changes in pay that went up. We've been doing this on a shoestring for the last 6 or 7 years and probably longer than that. And so this year LC melts down, and I'm hoping we're not going to make some terrible mistake in a bill we pass through and becomes law, and we're back here in August fixing something that we didn't see because they were working too hard nights and weekends. And when you work that long and that hard, you make mistakes. The next thing that's going to happen is, and I'm not suggesting it's going to happen to any particular branch, but LFO will make a mistake. Revenue will make a mistake. One of the offices that support us will make a mistake. We count these people to make sure the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, to do that really important work that makes the system function for us so when it goes out in the street, it actually says what it's supposed to say. And I'm very concerned that we're losing that ability, and we're going to lose it this session or next session if we don't make fundamental change here. And I don't see it in this budget. Not see it in this budget. I see a discussion only of changing our staffs, getting them fully paid. I do not see any discussion of increasing revenue for LC, for the revenue office, for LFO, increasing those staffs. I don't see any for the clerk's office, the secretary of state, or the secretary's office, the Senate. I just don't see it here. There must have been a discussion about this, and the discussion must have been we're not going to do it this session. Give me some background. What happened?
Mr. Chair, Senator Please. Bates, there was, and I'll just kind of come back to it, there has been significant discussion both in the Senate committee and in the public commission on that issue. And if you see on the attachment 4 of the original document, there's some reference to that. What you don't have today, you got today your first kind of sense of a number around the one additional staff person for the interim, but we are working on developing some things that kind of look like policy option packages, if you will, to lay out some of those items. And we have been, both the Speaker and the President's office have asked us to start putting that together so the committee has that. So you are going to see salary issues and staffing issues raised for all of those agencies you discussed.
Senator Bates, yes, it's my understanding we have separate agencies within the Assembly, and that those agencies within the Assembly, if I'm saying the word right, you heard from administration yesterday, you will be hearing from Legislative Council and proposal around Council and the other agencies coming forward. Our job today, as we understood it, was to speak to the branches, to the House and the Senate in there, as you know, as they are composed, which included only the member staff component and the wings as specific issues being brought to you. But LC will bring forward a package around salary and so forth that will be coming forward that is part of this budget.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I'm still struggling with the mechanics of some of this stuff. While I certainly don't dispute paying legislative assistants adequately and on a more regularized schedule, I'm trying to figure out how this works. I have an LA now who lives in Salem. When the session ends, I'm going to go back to Scappoose. Are we contemplating mileage? Are we contemplating all of where? Assuming you have a full-time LA, Senator Whitsitt's going to go back to Klamath Falls. Are we thinking about a single person who then travels and has per diem? Are we thinking? I mean, I just don't understand mechanically how it's going to work. And maybe you can help me get clearer on that.
For the record, Connie Seeley, Chief of Staff, Senate President, Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson. There has been some preliminary discussion, and I think in part it's going to depend, and I'm looking at Teresa now, what kind of package these folks could potentially get. If we make them, for instance, like Teresa and Gene and myself, there will be timesheets, there will be accruals, there will be a standard by which they will have to account for their time. How you would choose to manage those people in large part would be up to you, but part of the the thing that we struggled with, and I should also kind of put on the record, I had the privilege of spending the last, being appointed to the Public Commission, and I was charged with chairing the subcommittee on human resources and management, and spent quite a bit of time along with some other folks looking at staffing issues and human resources issues within this building, and not only pay levels but accountability structures as well. And that's why I think in the president's testimony you see some touching on that, and I think you're starting to get to that point, that it isn't just about handing folks more money. There is a process and a management system that's going to have to go along with that. And we have touched on that, but not completely figured out where we're going to land, because it's a bit of a chicken and an egg right now.
May I follow up?
Go ahead. Please. The problem I have, members, is I'm looking at the clock, and I'm also looking at the fact that we have two people here, one of whom I know travels some distance to get to this building, who was involved in this whole process of reorganization of the legislature. And I want to ask, is it possible you folks could come back at another time? I mean, if we...
For all the time.
I understand that.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, I'm happy to do it.
I do want to have Gary and Judge Pryor come up and talk to us a little bit about what's going on with this. If Senator, if that's all right.
Go and drink the water.
Judge Pryor and Gary Wilhelms, please, if you would. I know you've both worked on this. You have a lot of, put a lot of thought, a lot of energy, and a lot of time into it. And I know, at least as far as Gary is concerned, he's listened to me complain a little bit about the silliness of some of the things they did. Did you have some words you wanted to share with us this morning?
For the record, Gary Wilhelms, a formerly honorable retiree and one of the co-chairs of the Public Commission on the Legislature. I really don't know where to start, and Senator Courtney certainly did hit a good deal of the points that I wanted to make. I was here to support basically all of the recommendations that came to you from the Public Commission on the Legislature, not just the wings in the Capitol building, but that is the one that I would like to dwell on a little more. And I have to put out my bias up front. I really am a strong supporter of the recommendations that came out of, for the most part, they came out of the Public Commission on the Legislature, and that includes the spending of the additional funds that's required to pull some of them off. And that's coming from a relatively conservative Republican who is willing to step up and support, advocate for, lobby for the legislative branch, whatever it takes to get some of these things done. Recognizing that I don't have the political risk anymore, and I'm free to wail away and not worry about what people might think. But I strongly support the recommendations that came forward. The renovation of the Capitol Wings recommendation came through the Facilities Committee of the Public Commission on the Legislature. And it was an interesting discussion. I, as a co-chair, actually sat on that committee of the Public Commission, so was involved in the discussions on the renovation of the Wings project. The Facilities Committee went way beyond just the project of renovating the Wings. That has been on the drawing board for a decade. But we recommended also that a comprehensive plan be put forth to not only deal with the Capitol Wings and the renovation thereof, but also of doing a thorough review of the original building here and all of the deficiencies that there are in that building, and dealing with those things as well. So we can talk about $35 million or so for the Wings, but we also put on the table the fact that we might be talking about spending in excess of $100 million to do the whole building, because there is a long list of very significant, important expenses that are going to have to be taken care of in the entire building eventually. And as points already been made, unfortunately, the cost keeps going up. It doesn't keep going down, or it doesn't ever go down, as far as I know. And what we're talking about in terms of 31 or 35 or $100 million today obviously is going to be more if you wait till the next biennium. And there is a political risk there, but we think that the public commission, the facts that back this up, other organizations, the Oregon State Capitol Foundation, and other people who have jumped in to support these projects can help you with that. And I do believe, and have said many times in deliberations over this, that if we can't defend the recommendations that we made with facts, then the legislature shouldn't do it. We believe that we can give you the facts that you need if you don't already have them. And we believe that although the communications may not have been as good as it should have been, that there has been a lot of planning done on this. There has been a lot of at least thought given to it. And if the legislature would act, if the leadership would act and then step back and let the professionals move in and finish the job, they could get it done. There's been a lot of thought and planning that's gone into this so far.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
And I don't dispute that, but at the point that the guys that are supposed to step up and make the decision, I don't have a clue. And I'm not saying I want to insinuate myself or the legislature into a depth of detail where we're deciding the weave of the carpet or what hue of blue. But I just don't have any comfort at all that there has been adequate coordination between branches with legislators. If I had to sit down right now and explain to a colleague what we're going to spend $31 million on, I can't. I don't know, and I don't know if you listened to the testimony yesterday, but I don't have any comfort that the staff has been included in a meaningful way, the guys that work in here on a day-to-day basis and make this all work. I look at the relationship because I've only seen one set of maps, schematics, architectural renderings. Caucus rooms that are way away from the floor. I'm just trying to figure out who has combed this logistically. And why it is, if there's been such communication, that members don't know what's going on. I think the discussion has been around a very tight circle of true believers, and the rest of us have been functionally excluded. And now we get hit with, if we don't do it, it's going to cost twice as much. If you don't do it, you don't love the building. If you don't do it, you're not part of the team. I just have no comfort that we have the ability to execute on a plan of this magnitude. And I'll stand up and vote for it twice if I need to, once I'm assured that there is some degree of coordination and that we can deliver on a project like this. I've only been here for 4 sessions, but I have had people sit at witness tables and promise the sun, the moon, and the stars. And largely, they haven't worked out. And so forgive me for being a little jaded and a little cynical about this, but I'm not ready to sign up and say, boy, this looks like the best deal since sliced toast, without some reasonable assurance that there's somebody in charge who will ultimately be held accountable and who has the skill set requisite to deliver this.
Well, Senator Johnson, I concur that there's been a problem with communications on this. You and I have talked about this before.
Varying degrees of animation.
Yes. And there obviously has been some sort of a communications breakdown. And I'm not a professional engineer or architect, but I know I've personally seen plans for years on this. Now, if there's inadequacy in the plans, then that needs to be brought up and we need to deal with it. But I do believe that we have perfectly capable people that we have been working with in the private sector that can perform that function. I share your concern, and I guess maybe I'm blinded a little bit by my zeal for the project as to some of the detail that is inadequate in your opinion. And it may very well be inadequate, but I haven't been privy to it. I just...
Mine's a pretty superficial review because the legislature hasn't been brought along to any degree. So, I can't base criticisms on a in-depth review of the plans, nor should I be doing an in-depth review of the plans. I think that should be left to professionals who do that sort of thing. But I'm just looking for some level of assurance that we have a project management team that across the scope of the disciplines that are on that team have the requisite skill set to deliver this, and that adequate planning has occurred, and that some level of vehicle to continue to communicate. And while we're talking about putting on full-time staff, we're simultaneously talking about not having any place for them to sit. And I just see a fundamental disconnect.
Well, I understand that yesterday there was concern over the fact that we hadn't been coordinating with DAS. Now, I can personally tell you that I've been involved with DAS, not very much, but some, and I know that they're involved in the big picture. We talked early on about one of the major reasons we need to work over the old building were space considerations. And there were some statements made that were picked up by DAS that caused DAS to call us, and we got together and discussed with them the fact that this project is going to be a long-term project over the course of years. It's going to involve the building of another office building on the mall eventually. And it's going to involve transitions from the Capitol building into the public service building into this new building when that occurs. Well, that's going to take years to do. But there was discussion over a much larger project than just this, you know, the focus on the Capitol wings. I don't know what to do, and I'm not here anymore like I used to be every day, so I don't know, but one of the things that I'm hearing, if I can just make this statement, I don't want to cause any problem with this, but I've heard that part of the problem is nitpicking over details, like office locations, like office space, like whether we put wainscoting in the building, whether we have leather couches, etc. I hope that that's not what's slowing this down. I hope that we can make decisions and move beyond that, because those things can
be
dealt with.
The guy next door to you there wants to get in on this, and Senator Bates, if I can, and I'm going to come back to Senator Johnson.
You know, I'd like to say it's more than a communication gap here. It's a lot more than a communication gap here. You know, and figuring out office space is not nitpicking. The other stuff is, but you know, someone stepped up to me with a plan that I saw, and I had staff saying to me, and others saying to me, "This looks great." I'd feel differently. I have heard one person say this looks great. I've heard everybody say this looks terrible. But more importantly, I think we have a judge here from Eastern Oregon who's come a long ways, and I want to give her an opportunity to speak, if you would, Mr. Chair. I think we've been a little rude to her, and I think we need to listen to her. She's come a long ways.
Thank you, Senator Bates. That's fine. I appreciate it. And welcome. Judge Pryor, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Representative, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laura Pryor, and for over 20 years I was the Gillum County judge. I tried to retire in December and haven't quite made it yet, but I had the honor of co-chairing the public commission on this building, and I think your discussion is right on. And I think to some degree the commission believed that there probably was going to have to be some structure, some mechanism for you to be able to take it from where we made the recommendations to where you're going to be ultimately when you get to doing some construction. The thing that I really want to say to you that I think is incredibly important is something that we learned in the process of the commission's work. 30 people, many of whom did not work in this building, weren't in here very often, but had a feeling for governance in Oregon. And that was this. We learned of the very quickly the interconnections. You couldn't talk about the building. Pretty soon you were talking about the staff. You really couldn't talk about the staff until you were talking about technology. So it was an integrated piece. It was a compendium of the things that happened in this building, and it certainly was not simple. So we found ourselves, then you started talking about, when you started talking about staff, you started talking about wages and how do you keep good people and how do you get good people and how do they get trained and that whole piece. So this is not a simple thing. So I think the things that are coming to you now, I think should raise the issues that you're bringing up. I don't think it's inappropriate at all. We found ourselves gravitating there and realized that the next steps of putting together your working group of professionals to do the planning with you, then to bring to you what you'd be funding was something that was going to take time, as Gary says. It wasn't something that was going to happen quickly. So I think you're absolutely right on. I think what I am here to encourage you to do is to take that holistic look, because if I was sitting where you are and trying to do it with what you're trying to do it with, I'd find it very bloody difficult. I've been in this building now for 10 sessions, on and off. And watching you try to do the work that you do, I have tremendous respect for you, because you're handicapped in so many ways. You're disconnected from the tools that you need, I believe, to do the job. When the public commission looked at that, we not only looked at how long do you have to do a budget for every one of those agencies and deal with 3,000 bills, how do you do it? And I think we all came away, 30 people came away, even Gary and I, Gary has much more experience than I do and the limited experience that I've had, realizing that we have to advocate for you to do it. There's never going to be a good time for you to do this. There's never going to be a good time for you to do this. Anybody, any one session that decides to take this on is taking on a huge job. And it's going to be across sessions, and it's going to be incremental, and it's going to have its problems. But to have the vision to be able to take your body that deals with all the problems in society in this state and not take it the step you need to take it to have the tools you need and just the roof over your head to get it done, it's going to be unacceptable not to do it, because at some point it will get done. But will it get done in a crisis situation, or will it get done when you've got the time to take a little bit of time to make the best decisions? That was what the 30 people that looked at this for over a year were hoping that you would do. So I want to encourage you, and I think your questions are right on.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I just can't help but observe, and I don't know whether you two have been embroiled in this or not, we can't even decide together who's going to do the maintenance of the grounds around here. That's not the kind of bedrock that I think we undertake a $30 million or $100 million renovation of the building against. I just have great trepidation.
Well, if it's any consolation, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I happened to be sitting in the old building when we decided whether we were going to build the wings and had to vote on that project. And you're probably not having any more trouble now with this project than we did back then with that project. It is complicated. It is political. It's a big PR job. All these things come together to make it a tough decision to make. And if there's anything that I, and I know Laura feels the same way, that we can do to provide the information that you need, or to take the concerns that you have to the people that have got to deal with those concerns, please ask us to do that, because we know that that's got to happen before this project will come to pass.
Can I take you up on that in this way? And again, I'm making this up as I'm sitting here, but just trying to find a way out of the woods. We heard the Senate President say this morning that we're coming back in February. Having not been privy to the discussions about what that session is going to look like, I don't know what issues we're going to deal with. Budget and policy, second bite at the apple for everybody that didn't get what they wanted in this session. I don't have a clue. But it would be lovely if we had the option at that point to discuss some of these really big projects, structural tax reform or redoing the wings. I mean, some of these big issues that get lost for all the trees in a regular session that you just described, 4,000 bills, all that sort of stuff. What would happen if there was some degree of planning money appropriated now, with the idea that you would come back in February with a fully vetted team, some accountabilities, some way to track this for the legislature that goes beyond just trust us, that we knew that there had been a level of engagement between the Department of Administrative Services and the building they're going to build, the treasurer's pent-up desire to have the Palace of Treasury some way to figure out who's going to go where, some engagement of the professional staff in the building, although I do believe that LFO and LRO were engaged. I'm talking about just the nuts and bolts people that make this building function. And you came back with sort of a plan of action, where people are going to move, not just that the governor and the secretary of state and the treasurer have gotten eviction notices. And have that broader discussion with the legislature and use the interim to work individual groups or I'm just looking for some way to help us all embrace where you're headed.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, if you were speaking specifically to Gary and I know we are up for that. We are completely supportive of this and invested in it. We couldn't have put in with 30 people over a year and not be really invested in seeing that the things that are done, need to get done, will be done.
Mr. Chair, you're making my point. You guys could be the cheerleaders to say between now and February, what do we need to do to bring people's comfort along?
Well, there's good news and there's bad news, Senator Johnson. The good news is, if the legislature did that this session, that would be certainly a step in the right direction and would probably get the ball rolling. So we could have, I mean, that would be a very good thing. The bad news is that it obviously isn't going to happen during this coming interim. I mean, the project will not come off during this coming interim, which means it's delayed another 2 years, which means there will be an impact on costs. And I'm worried that we're going to pass up a very good time to fund this project, because interest rates are right, revenues are right, everything seems to be right to do it now. Is it going to still be good in 2 years or not? I don't know, and none of us do. But that's just the bad news. But I would accept what you just proposed as certainly being a step in the right direction, and would commit myself to work on it in any capacity that I can.
I'm going to take one last shot at this from Senator Bates.
No, we got to get out of here. What Senator Johnson just suggested, obviously, was I was suggesting to the president when he was here, that we're coming back in February, and maybe we should be looking at this thing a little more carefully before we do that. I also have your concerns in mind. I mean, the time to do this was 2001. Talk about low interest rates and the economy needing a boost, and we didn't have the courage to step up and do it. We could have done it for pittance at that time, we failed to. So that's pretty fresh and burned in my memory. Having said that, this is May 2nd. Why were we not talking about this January 15th and working it through this session? Why were the people who were most affected by this ignored? And even though we were talking about it behind the scenes, we were ignored and ignored. We've got 8 weeks here yet. I would suggest that if, and I'm doing this on the fly without talking to my colleague here, that Senator Johnson and I and maybe someone from the House side would sit down with us, look at what plan has been laid out, see where we're really at, maybe get a lot of work done right now that would allow us to go forward with the wings if we were assured that we had a plan in place that really made sense. All the issues that Senator Johnson has brought up, we've got a little time left, not a lot, a little time left, but there has to be some big changes, I would think, in what we've seen so far for that to happen. I would be willing to engage in that immediately. We've got 8 weeks left here. Spend a couple of evenings, a couple of days working on this to see where we're really at. A lot of work's obviously been done that we don't know about. We need to hear about that.
Well, I'll go back to what I've said repeatedly in the past, and that is if we can't answer the concerns and back up the recommendations with facts, that is, if we can't convince this subcommittee that this ought to be done now, we obviously aren't there. And we need to do more work. So, I would certainly support what you just said. If we have to pour ourselves into this between now and the end of this legislative session, so be it.
Thank you, Gary. And members of the committee, hearing the discussion today and hearing the concern that we have, the concern that's shared by a number of people. We are, first of all, probably going to suggest that next Monday that you were planning to take off at this hour has been overridden, and we're going to have a committee hearing on Monday, assuming that our help here, or able assistant, the one who really is directing what we do, is going to be available. I'm not saying that we're going to be on this particular budget on that day. And in fact, in light of the difficulty for Senator Bates sometimes to get here on Monday at the early hour, it would probably be my preference, Teresa, if we could move it to Wednesday on this particular aspect of the budget, the legislative aspect of the budget. And the other thing, and I need to talk with all of the members and with the co-chairs and with staff, it may well be that you've signed up for some evening meetings on this subcommittee in order for us to be able to deal in a more comprehensive way with this topic. If that meets with your approval, that's great. If it doesn't, it may happen anyway.
Prerogative of the chair.
Thank you very much, Gary and Judge Breyer. I appreciate your being here.